Once upon a time, there were six strangers. Strangers who, despite the best efforts of the coronavirus, got together for a virtual game of D&D. That game turned into another game, which turned into yet another game, which turned into a campaign. By then, the strangers, who had started to become friends, said, "Hey, since we're playing and we need those notes anyways, why don't we record it and release it as a podcast?" This is the story of the players and the characters in that campaign. This is the story of Golden Glory in Season 3, The Shadow Conclave. Okay, welcome to our D&D podcast. First thing you gotta know, we're not voice actors. We're not even actors. We're just a bunch of regular folk who wanted to play D&D during the coronavirus pandemic. Next thing you gotta know, this ain't your run-of-the-mill D&D game. It's an Acquisitions Incorporated game, which means it's going to get weird, corporate, and have a bunch of acting in-jokes. Last thing you gotta know, it's a homebrew game, which means if you're looking for adventures on the Sword Coast, or in Tal'Dorei, or in Wildmar, you're not going to find them here. But if you're looking for something a little familiar, and more than a little different, onwards to Golden Glory. Now, before we begin, here's a quick character intro, just to help you know who's who.
Hi, I'm Selena, a human divination wizard, and I'm the loremonger.
Hi, I'm Theo. I'm a human twilight cleric, and I'm also the documancer.
Hey, I play Edith, a dwarf barbarian, and I'm the decisionist.
Hi, I'm Siona, a half-elf bard, and I'm the secretarian.
I am Turin, a dragonborn paladin, and I am an independent contractor representing the Kingdom of Lemuria.
Hi, I'm Bobo the Hobo. I'm a tabaxi rogue and a freelance contractor.
Our fearless franchisees receive a hero's welcome in their triumphant return to Saltmarsh. That said, the G-Team finds out that in their long absence, the sleepy little town of Saltmarsh has changed significantly. Bobo the Hobo introduces himself to Golden Glory and tries to demonstrate his skills. And Edith finds her ultimate chicken dish. All this and more in Episode 4, Part B, The Return to Saltmarsh. So inside the building, I mean, it is really quite impressive. And you can see that, you know, there are a number of kind of tables with different kind of wares around it. There appears to be a side room off to the northern side, which is like a separate area. And it looks like they've got like, you know, clothes and carpets and different things. Now directly kind of, to the east, there is a central table, and let me just go back into exploration mode so you guys can venture there. You can see that there is a large kind of almost U-shaped table that's complete with a whole bunch of urns. There's a bubbling vat of kind of purple liquid in the back. There are numerous kind of bags and bottles over there, and you can see definitely right there next to the cauldron is a smallish kind of chameleon lizard man, and he's got these kind of goggles on and a bit of a leather tunic. Off to the side as well, behind near the stairs, which seem to lead off to the outside, you also see a very glamorous looking minotaur who is dressed in sort of diaphanous pink silks, and she's definitely, you know, talking with all the different customers and stuff like that. So, you know, as you guys want to kind of come into this area, just tell me what you want to do.
I'm going to go straight to Tlack Talk.
Okay, so you move over to Tlack Talk, and he's kind of busy with another customer, but then all of a sudden he sees and he's going,
"Oh, Mistress Selena!
Tlack Talk!
Well, what are you doing here?
We have just arrived back. I see that you are now part of Emka's
emporium.
Well, it
could we have a private conversation, please?
Of course, if you want, yeah, we can go over here in the back room. Absolutely, just step this way, Miss Selena. Now, what's everyone else doing?
Theo, can you get out the contract we had with Plat Talk, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Theo's already got it ready.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's like, but, I don't understand. You approved this, and he pulls out like a contract that is signed by Theo with Golden Glory, kind of approving, you know, the joint venture between MCA's, you know, what was once formerly the corporate entity of MCA's Fetishes Plus and Tlactalk's T's and Tizans. And so now, effectively, according to the, you know, like the terms and conditions of this thing, it basically has the approval to proceed with the merger of the operations.
Theo, have you ever seen this contract he has?
Have I ever seen this contract he has?
You have never seen this contract.
This is a forgery. I've never seen this contract. This is a forgery, Mr.
But
Talk.
Look, it's right here. I had to go and I petitioned. Remember, like you were saying that we needed to kind of boost the sales and we needed to, you know, to be able to, and I sent in requisition forms. I sent requisitions and they kind of went in order to get the materials. And then after a while, we didn't hear anything from you. It's like you disappeared. And I sent requisition form. I sent the follow-up requisition form. I sent the follow-up to the follow-up requisition form. And I didn't get anything. But then finally, I talked to Drebus. And Drebus just said, oh, go to the headquarters and go talk to Theo. And just make sure that this gets signed. I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding. So then when I went in person, then, you know, we had that conversation. You and I, face to face, we had the conversation about the whole operation. And, of course, you approved it.
Where
so.
Sorry?
Where
do we have this conversation?
In your office?
In my office on the boat?
On the boat? No, not on the boat. In the new headquarters.
What new headquarters?
Okay. Is this some sort of weird joke?
No.
Like you are coming back and then you all of a sudden say, like, you ignore us for
We have not been here for weeks. When did this all happen?
We've been gone for months.
Yeah. When did this all happen?
Well, I don't know. It's six, almost 2 months ago, like on the day of the hedgehog. And look, it's right here.
We were not here. This is whoever you talked to was not Theo.
Okay. And you know what? That you're right. When I spoke to Theo, are you sure you are Theo? Because look, you've got this, you are shorter and you are stockier and you have this weird beard. The Theo I spoke to, the one who was my business partner, he didn't have a beard. He was tall. He was a little bit tubby, but he was human. I mean, you look like a dwarf.
No, I'm human. I just grew a beard. You just show me how.
Okay. Well, you know what? I don't know why this is so confusing. Because I sent in all the forms. I did everything like we were supposed to. You were not here to validate anything. So of course then when I actually went in person, I spoke to, you know, Mr. Theo, and I think I spoke with Miss Siona as well. And, they were there. And, she was, part of witness.
Parent contract.
What do you do? Sorry?
I want to read this contract that apparently I signed. There's a couple of things I want to know. Like, one, what is our take? That's important.
Understand.
Right? You know, two, like, I guess I'm trying to see, like, who this benefits.
Okay.
Most.
And who the contract is with.
Okay. So, other question then. So for the others, so Edith, and, Bobo,
What are you guys doing in the interim while all this kind of conversation is going on?
Take Edith and go grab a table. Just sit down.
You kind of in the emporium, so there's like clothes you can show for here. There's potions you can show for here.
Yeah, and there is an upstairs area if you wanted to kind of, you know, explore that as well.
Well, what I was trying to do was, you know, be inquisitive and be like a surveillance, actually, facing out the joint.
Okay.
For exits and entrances and
okay.
Everything.
That's cool.
Secrets.
Yeah. All right, so give me an investigation check, please. And I don't know, do you get advantage on investigation because of your cloak? That's more of a perception thing, eh? I don't know if there's something having to do with the inquisitive subclass that gives you an advantage.
Any roll, the 7 or below, is treated as an 8.
But I got 15.
But she got a 15 plus her.
Okay, 15 is decent. So,
that's a 24.
Yeah. So a couple of things. Like this shop.
24, by
the way. Oh, 24. Oh my gosh. So the shop is actually incredibly diverse and it's incredibly well stocked, right? And so there are a range of different price points on all the different things that they sell. And so even, for example, there's a weapons vendor and there appears to be like a half orc who's very knowledgeable and stuff. And I mean, to your eye, some of the quality of these weapons are like master crafted. Now, very importantly, you can see to this sort of almost the corner of the room, there's sort of a glowing chest area that is kind of behind a sealed like a fence, and you know, it appears to be glowing with some faint you know, light energy and stuff like that. There do appear to be stairs leading to a second floor, and your senses also tell you that there are a lot of people upstairs, and again, you're getting kind of smells of food and the, you know, clinking of like dishes kind of, you know, clinking back and forth. So it really is like, you know, emporium is a really good term for this. It's not a simple shop. It's got like, it's almost like a department store in a way, like a medieval equivalent of an apartment store. Okay. So anyways, that's that. Edith, anything in particular that you want to do?
I want to back to friends, stay away from the weapons. Maybe not. I don't know how wise you are.
All right. So, So Theo, back to you then. So give me an investigation roll, please.
So this is reading contracts.
Yeah.
And I have something as a
Documancer. For sure.
I'm trying to look for it here. So, in addition to proficiency, you can add proficiency bonus to any ability check to check organize lore, analyze official or arcane documents, or convey a legally binding point of view.
Okay.
So, you want an investigation check.
Uh-huh.
Which I am not proficient in. However, I should be adding my proficiency bonus anyway.
Sure.
And I'll be helping you, and my passive investigation is 24, so.
Right. And I'm guiding myself with Serene's holy blessing here.
Got it.
Oh, my God. Look at it.
Fantabulous.
That's a 6.
Oh, no.
Proficiency disease plus 4, and I rolled a 1 on guidance and a 1 on the d20.
Okay. Yeah.
This would be like minimum I should be able to get from any contract.
So, okay. Now, I'll say this. So, Theo, I mean, you look at it and you're like, it looks legit in every single way. Like, to the curve of you know, like the flourish that's part of your normal signature, to the angle of the stamps of like the date thing, to the formatting and everything like that, like the paperwork of the letterhead, like everything is in order. It's the only thing is you don't remember ever signing this. Well, now,
I didn't ever sign it.
Well, clearly. But see, if and maybe you just forgot. Maybe it's something that you did, like, I don't know, you were drinking one day or something. You were just like, you don't know, right? But you have no active recollection. But if you look at this, it is...
Theo, let me look at this.
Okay. All right. So now, you look as well.
Mm-hmm. Do I get to roll investigation?
If you want to. And you know, it's always the minimum of your...
Oh, it's always the minimum? It's not...
No.
Oh, yeah. So the minimum is 24.
The minimum can be... Yeah, like, which is ungodly.
Yes.
It's like ridiculous.
Right. So that would be 24 because I rolled a 21.
Okay. So you look at it too, and for all intents and purposes, like corporate letterhead, license of registration, all of these technical details that you don't really understand, it really does look legit. However, what is different about it? And you're not a student of the law and contracts and things like that, right? And you know that these things actually typically are bound to the auspices of Holy Verena and the temple of justice and law.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a divine element of magic to it. And then you realize that's what the difference is. This, it's not that it's missing, and it's so subtle. Most contracts have that binding energy mm-hmm. that's associated with divine magic.
Yeah.
This has this a same magical energy, but you realize it doesn't come from a divine source. It comes from an arcane source.
So somebody faked it.
Well, again, it looks...
No, but somebody faked the Verena thing.
Right. And so, like, I mean, that's really the difference, right? It's like, for all intents and purposes, it's a perfectly executed magical contract. But you know imperial law is it works through divine magic and the blessing of the goddess Verena.
Right.
This doesn't have that. But in all other respects, it is... It's a perfect contract.
Okay, I think we need to go to the temple. Is there a temple of Verena?
There is no temple of Verena that you know of. The temple of Verena is in Marek.
Okay.
But who is making the most out of this contract?
And yes,
are we getting a fair cut?
Okay, so yeah, like I mean, the contract basically stipulates that it's sort of this kind of joint venture operation. And so that... you know, Tlack Talk, you know, in as much as he is a partner in this, you know, benefits from being able to sell in this space and benefit from the greater degree of traffic that is here, right? And clearly before, he didn't really know what he was doing. He had like really, you know, badly organized shelves and he wasn't very much of a salesperson, right?
Right.
And like, I mean, this is like professional level kind of stuff, right? Like Emka has taken her skills as a marketer and he's definitely benefit from that, right? And and from the fully stocked shelves, clearly he's like actually selling. So if you are actually getting, you know, payments and royalties from his sales, you, Golden Glory, are benefiting from it. But the thing is that...
Who is the contract with? Tlack Talk and who?
Oh, it's signed as a partnership between Tlack Talk and Emka, but it's basically being approved. And in fact, it's got the corporate merger organization approval from Drawn Enterprises. And Golden Glory.
So Drawn Enterprises is part of this. Okay.
Yeah, and like your assessment of this is that it's actually a really good business deal for both, like, you know, drawn benefits because there's a big draw of
yes, but it's not a legitimate contract.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Because you guys clearly said we are not going to have any dealings with EMCA at all because of the linkage to drawn.
Yes.
But clearly you don't know what's happened, but here is this quasi legitimate contract and he's clearly operating here.
Well,
hey, Selena, before you freak out here, just remember that Siona may want to have a meeting with our new partners at Drawn.
I agree. And I am not saying we should go all out and just like yell at people, but we do have to acknowledge this is a illegitimate contract.
Klatak, can you walk with me to the head office, so to speak, that we had to sign that?
Well, I have to at least complete my shift. Is this something we can maybe
do? Well, is there not someone who can take over for you?
Well, I am not letting anyone but, you know, like, I'm still operating my shelf over here. I don't have helpers. This is still an independent operation within, you know, EMCA Talks. But, you know, I suppose...
Well, maybe Siona could take care of it while we're gone?
Well, Kieran can sell.
Where is Siona? I do not see her.
Turin's right here, though. He can sell stuff.
Yes, Turin can sell stuff.
Oh, you are Captain Turin from Lemuria?
Yeah, there's a whole song, too.
Okay, now with this singing kind of going on, it's sort of attracting a little bit of an audience. And then you can see Edith and Bobo kind of sliding up to your area where you're at. And tell me where you're at right now. Like what part of the store are you actually checking out?
What part of the store are you checking out?
I'm probably just you guys, you know, watching.
Gave up on weapons stuff today.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's say, you know, EMCA in these kind of billowing silks, kind of like sachets over, and she's kind of making a beeline for you, Edith, and she's like, darling, wonderful to see you in my new store, EMCA Talks Emporium. What do you think? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it marvelous?
Well, it's the moment we last were here.
Well, yes, that was when we were just a small operation, but you can see we have expanded and we have reached new heights of marketing wonderfulness. How can I, EMCA, help you today?
I'm other colleagues.
Ah, but I know, I can see the look in your eye. I'm sure you are very curious about our many, you know, wondrous items. You know what? I have just the thing for you. You look to be quite heroic-like, but you know what you're missing, darling?
A warhammer.
You're missing a cloak. I can guarantee you, if you purchase this wonderful garment, you will always look like your cloak is billowing in the wind and you will be so heroic. Everyone will look upon you and they will just faint with desire over your magnificent. Can I see you in this glorious cloak, my dear? I'd be even willing to give you a special discount because I know it would suit you so well.
Thank you, Edgar.
So that is a yes?
No.
Oh, well, then fine. That's okay. It is good. Look at this very handsome dwarf. May I say that is quite the shield, sir. And oh, that warhammer, that is very manly, I must say. It is just... I am sorry. Do I know?
Here does not mean I'm a different person.
Wait a second. Wait,
EMCA, this is Theo.
Theo?
Yes, EMCA.
You look so So very different. You're looking a little bit sinister, if I may say so. It has quite the air of attractiveness to it. What are you doing? And thank you, by the way, for approving our corporate merger. It was most generous. The last time I remember, it was like 2 months ago or something, you were quite, disturbed, and you were saying, no, we cannot deal with you. But then, of course, you changed your mind so generously, and you brought us together, and now look at us. We are just one happy corporate entity. Thank you.
Where is the finest serene?
Where is...
She's like right over there in the corner.
Where is the what? Sorry?
Shrine to Serene.
Oh, the Shrine to Serene. Well, you know, I think Serene is, she is not in love with the commercial process. This is a secular organization, but I'm sure
Serene is here to reach out to all peoples of all walks of life.
Of course, as are my merchandise. And, Selena, I can put you inside some excellent, like, that form, that figure. Ho, ho! I have just the thing for you. Magic, magic, magic.
Well, since we're partners, I can get it for free, right?
Oh, no, of course, but at a significant discount. Let's say
we're partners.
No, I don't think
we're partners.
Works.
What is yours is mine.
Wait a second. The signatures here are between the entities of Tlactox and Emcas. And so, yes, I understand that it was approved as part of the merger, but you do not possess all of these things. We still sell them. Of course, you get a cut. You that's part of it. But you wouldn't get the merchandise wholesale. I couldn't do that.
But this contract says that Tlactox works for us.
Well, in essence, it's the joint venture.
So if you made an agreement with Tlactox, you made an agreement with ACK Inc. Therefore, we are partners.
Yes, but that does not mean wholesale that we are just going to give you merchandise. I am sure we can reach an appropriate deal. Now, what are you interested in, my dear?
What do you have?
Well, for you, I think the robe of slow motion entrance. Imagine this. You walk into a room filled with all the nobles looking, and then you have this like slow motion thing that just flows from you, and then you would look so marvelous and so enchanting, and all eyes would be upon you. And then they
not interested.
Oh, well.
How much is that?
Oh, well, normally I would sell it for 150 gold pieces, but because you are partners, I will give you a 20% discount.
50.
100.
100%?
No, one. You want...
I want a 50% discount.
Oh, no, I thought you were saying gold pieces.
No.
Well, 150, you want a 50% discount.
Yeah.
All right.
But not for that. What else do you have?
That sounds like something Siona
would like.
What are you looking for?
Well, what do you have?
Well, we have everything here at Emca Talks, of course. Now, we have, and as you know, we've got all the potions that my dear partner here has managed to create, and he has refined some new ones. A potion of speed.
Potions we will get for free from Tlactox, thank you. I don't want potions.
Oh, sorry then. Okay. Well then, I have different things. Glamoured armor.
What does that do?
Well, let me just tell you. Would you like to try it on?
No. Tell me what it does first.
2 seconds.
It's still that armor, so like if it's a leather armor, it's still like...
But it can look like anything, right?
You can make it look like anything.
Yeah, exactly. And see...
But it's leather armor? I can't wear it.
No. Like, this is as good. Like, it's the type of armor you want. We have all the different ones. Say, for example, Master Theo, you wanted your plate mail armor, but you wanted to look like it was a doublet with a cape? It could
be yours.
Do you have anything that's actually useful?
Oh, yes. Of course I have things which are useful. It depends, however. Oh, I have this ring of feather falling. If you were to fall from a great height, it would activate itself normally so that you would float to the ground like a feather.
Okay, that could be useful.
It what else? Could be useful. Oil of etherealness. Your ability to meld into the ethereal plane and dance with the ghosts and spirits. That sounds so exciting, isn't it, Selena?
Possibly. What else do you have?
You can already enter the ethereal plane.
Oh, well then. What else can I say? I have, Well, do you want me to bring up the big guns?
Sure.
Come this way. And she ushers you all to this kind of corner where there's like this whole kind of glowing box type of thing. And she waves her hand in a ring over the surface of the gate, which clicks open. And you can see this kind of field of magical energy just kind of crackle back and forth in between the two statues of the Dragonborn. And then she reaches into the box and it kind of clicks open and she pulls out from within a small box that is maybe a foot or like a cubic foot, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's not that small. It's large. And it seems to be made out of like iron and decorated with edges of metal and stone. Now, come back here. And she takes you behind into a warehouse area. And you know what? We probably shouldn't erect the whole thing. But this is Dairn's Instant Fortress. If you were to plant this in the ground and utter the words of power and the incantation, it transforms into a fully functional military fortress, complete with ballista and armored walls and protective defenses. So imagine you needed to take this on some of your adventures, your battles, you know, you get yourself soiled, and you needed a fortress. Instant Fortress.
And how much does that cost?
Well, this, my dear, is our most prized possession, and I can say it does not come cheap.
Okay.
Again.
So, the price
if
is...
We are doing this 50% off,
deal, I'd just like to know what the price
the
is.
The full price is I would offer it in a retail to ensure my margins and the margins of your partners, 80,000.
Oh, I don't think we can afford that, even at 50%.
But think of it. Imagine, like, especially adventurers such as yourself, it would be so useful, would it not? You are being attacked by a dragon or some for an army of no good, undead, and they're coming up. And all of a sudden, you're like, I need a fortress. And I utter the word of power, and instantaneously, I have a fortress. I can't think.
I agree. It's cool, but I don't have 40,000 gold.
Well, then perhaps a partial payment plan over several years plus interest.
Not right now. Thank you.
Well, then you did ask for my best. That is what Emka has to offer.
What other cloaks do you have? And what other
cloaks. Let me see here.
Okay.
Yes. Theo, anything for you.
Anything at all, right?
Well, of course, what I have in inventory. Actually, I have just the thing that will go with your beard and your new look.
I don't know if this is going to be an article of clothing or maybe some jewelry, but I would say that what I'm looking for is something to steal my mind from people trying to read it.
Would that be the Lover's Pottery Wheel?
I don't think
so. The Box of Fae Chocolates? I'm afraid I don't have anything like that.
Do you have any spell scrolls?
You know what I do? Well, of course we have spell scrolls, my dear. You just speak to Erebeth over there, and then he can set you up with whatever. I mean, I can't guarantee the inventory, but you know what I do, Theo? I just...
A door spell?
A witch... A witch spell?
Something to store a spell.
Oh, you mean a ring of spell storing, do you?
Well, that would be nice.
Well, now, I suppose I could put it on back order. You know what? I am going to have to double check that one with our inventory management system to see whether or not we actually have this. But now that I know that... Yes?
A ring or a bottle...
Well, we have lots of bottles here. You can see all the bottles.
Store a spell in.
No, I don't think I have anything. That's a good idea, though. I have this, though. The ever-smoking bottle. See? And she takes open, like, this kind of brass canister, and she unplugs it, and all of a sudden, poof, this kind of, like, you know, big thing of smoke starts filling the room, and then she quickly puts the stopper back on. This will fill a room with smoke and fog, obscuring you from all dangers. Anyways, we have many things. Just tell me what you need, and I will see what I can do to procure it.
Do you have any magical robes?
I do. What sort of magical robes are you looking for, my
dear?
Something useful. Well, there is the robe of slow motion entrance.
No, I don't want that.
Why not?
Okay, something useful, like a robe of useful things?
Yes, like a robe of useful things, or something that increases my armor class.
I don't know what you're talking about, dear, but sure, we can see if we can find something like that. I believe I probably have some form of robe of protection or something like that. Is that what you're looking for? Gives you an enchantment that makes you more difficult to detect and hit, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Yes, and I can see, but, you know, it doesn't really...
Or a cloak of mirror images or something like
cloak
that.
Cloak of I don't think I have that one. We might have to request that one special. As a sort of design.
But that's the kind of thing I'm
But, you know, Selena, you look so beautiful with your dress and your gypsy style. Why would you hide your glory underneath all this robe? It would make you so plain and boring.
Well, you can make a fancy-looking robe.
Oh, we're talking custom job? You're on, lady. You're on.
Well, are you saying all of your robes are boring?
Surely
you have some nice.
Clearly, the thing is that they are for a certain aesthetic. You know, acolytes and religious people and people who basically don't have a real sense of fashion. Whereas you, a beautiful young woman, you know, you need to show off your assets, dear.
Okay. So if I get a custom job.
Custom job?
How much would that cost?
For a robe of protection, you say?
Yes.
Let me see. All right.
Or could you make my current robe a robe of protection?
Oh, you want to enchant your beautiful dress?
Yeah.
That will take more time, but yes, because it's custom made. If we throw in the custom job in there, absolutely, dear. Let's
do it.
Give
me the cost, please.
Right. Okay. Now, because Alpha, the DM, needs to research costs, let's take a break. Okay. So if we're all back, what I'm going to suggest for this particular one, like, I mean, I am happy. I'm completely happy to roleplay a full shopping session. I will do that very happily. But I do think that we can kind of skip over it if you want. What I was going to suggest is, between sessions, because you guys are in Saltmarsh now, you're probably going to be in Saltmarsh a while. So you have some opportunity to place an order or, you know, do some more shopping and stuff like that. So if you guys want to research and say, hey, I'm looking for X, I want a scroll of this, right? I can then offline from the game kind of research the prices and things like that. So I think that that's a good way of dealing with something which is essentially mechanical in nature without getting bogged down, unless you guys actually want to play it out, right? So it's really up to you, but I would suggest that we don't have to. In Siona, for example, next session, she may love to role play through a lot of this stuff. Yeah. But if you guys don't want to do that, that's okay. Unless you want to buy Dern's Instant Fortress at a bargain price of 80,000. It's wonderful.
I don't even know how much gold we have. Theo's in control of that.
All right.
Like $7,000.
That's not anywhere near 40,000. So.
Okay. Daryl, did you get my question or note saying, did you add to that total the value of the cargo that came from the drow ship?
That depends. What was the value of the cargo from the drow ship?
I remember it being around 5,000. And, you know, obviously, it assumes that, you know, you guys would sell it and resell it and do all that kind of stuff. Because there was, like, silks and you know, all sorts of, you know, weird exotic things and stuff like
that.
We can
sell that all to Emka.
Right.
And I think the answer was no, because we weren't sure what we were actually going to be able to sell for.
Oh. So you didn't even take it?
Oh, we took it.
Okay.
Okay.
We just, he just doesn't have it in our
you don't have it. Okay. So then I would say, like, assume then that it's convertible to about 5 grand. Okay. So.
And you have 5 grand to spend right away?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay. So we have 12 grand there as party gold.
Yep. That still doesn't allow us to buy the fortress.
That's because the fortress is a legendary magic item. Okay, so are we okay with that plan, or do you guys actually want to role play it out?
No, I need to think of what
a couple of levels. I can make a church.
Oh, you can make a church?
Yeah, but it ain't no instant church, let me tell you. Okay, cool.
Oh, it's instant.
Is it really? That's amazing. Okay, that's cool. All right.
Wait, in 10 minutes. I don't know. I have to check it.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so, you know, let's say, you know, especially between examining the contract, looking through and browsing, having to fend off Emka and things like that, you know, maybe you're shopping there for about an hour and a half to even 2 hours. Upstairs, just so you know, there's a whole kind of all-you-can-eat buffet. And, you know, there's all, like, families and stuff like that. They're all kind of running around. Now, I will say, you definitely all noticed this. No gnomes. Not a single one. Halflings, dwarves, you see the occasional small lizard man type of thing like that. But you do not
see. Flat talk. What has happened to all of the gnomes?
You must know. Mr. Selena, you're kidding me. Stop it.
No.
Well.
What happened to all of the gnomes?
Everyone knows that you guys put out the call for the gnome laborers and that you were making use of them in the factories and everything like that, and they got to stay secure from the rest of the population so that they wouldn't infect anyone with the Kabama virus. And of course, you see how we've made good profit on all your Kabama virus masks? And on top of that, there's no gnomes, because you've managed to sequester them so that they get the labor and they are safe.
You're saying I sequestered
them? Well, maybe not you, but you, Golden Glory. You are local heroes. Go outside and speak to anyone and they will tell you how grateful they are not to have to deal with the contagion of the Kabama virus and deal with those gnomes, you know, who when they cough, they infect things and they spread this horrible disease and virus. Why, if it weren't for you and the masks and your segregated labor policies, you know, Saltmarsh would be, you know, a hell of infection.
But we don't want the gnomes to be segregated.
Well, that's not what... It's clearly this happened a month and a half ago when you announced, you know, special deals.
You know, we've been gone for over 2 months, right? We were not here. to do any of this.
Miss Selena, please, you keep on confusing me, because I could have swore the other day when I was over at the headquarters that you were there. You were, I don't know, ordering some sort of magical thing or whatever. Aren't you preparing for your wedding?
My wedding?
Why, yes, with young Anders Solmore. It's all the talk of town.
Okay, Theo, we need to figure out who's been impersonating us.
I got to wonder why I'm not presiding over your wedding.
Who but me
should, you know, is worthy of presiding over your wedding?
And Emka, did I hear wedding? Wedding bells? Selena, you bad girl, you.
I'm not getting married.
What do you mean? I could have swore you came in last week and saying you wanted me to get the extra poofy sleeves and the lower cut on the dress. Don't tell me.
Does it look like I wear poofy sleeves?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe you should try the dress on.
Yeah, is it ready?
Well, I have some alterations, but if you wish to try it on just for, you know, a second fitting, by all means.
Sure, let's do that.
All right, well, let's go then. All right, so Selena disappears into like a changing room, and Emka brings up, and it's like silk and multiple layers. It is a really well-fitted kind of thing. It does have kind of poofy sleeves, but they're not overly poofy. They're just the ones that are kind of the short sleeves. And, you know, they kind of allow your arms to kind of flow free. And then don't forget the bangles, dear. Don't forget the bangles. You're going to look lovely.
Can we remove some of this poofiness from the sleeves?
I thought you said that you really wanted the poofs. No. Now you're changing your mind. You're changing
my mind.
Very well, no problem. I understand what it's like to be a bride to be. I mean, you all your life goes into planning this perfect moment. So that's fine. That's fine. Okay. Any other adjustments, dear? Do you want me to take in a little bit more, give you a little bit more lift?
Sure.
Very well. Oh, I just love working with you, Selena. It's so much fun.
While we're doing this, hey, Bobo.
Yeah?
Find me some receipts or proof or something that something is wrong here. I don't care. It can be tax evasion. It can be whatever. Just find me something in this place.
Hey, didn't I hear earlier that this lady... Oh, yeah. Well, we're talking about the necklaces. She's pretty perceptive, isn't she? Can't she look and feel this dress out and see who might have worn it before?
Yeah, that's for her to do. I need you to find me proof that Emka is on the tape. Something I can sue her over.
Do I have that ability to figure out who wore something?
Tell me how, and I will see.
I don't.
You have to get pretty creative.
I don't have a spell that does that. And my insight.
There is no spell called "What did I wear last?"
Yeah, I know. Okay. Well, while I'm wearing this dress, I want to get out my ball.
Okay, and you look ridiculous. Like in your mind, like. I mean, yes, it is a really nice dress.
Yeah.
But it's just not you.
No.
Right? You would never wear something like this.
So I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like thinking of how I would change the dress. Like
okay.
I would add colors and all
okay,
that stuff.
Okay,
so,
okay.
But while I'm like changing out of the dress, uh-huh. I get out my crystal ball.
Crystal ball.
And I'm going to just look into it deeply. Mm-hmm. And I want to see if I can feel or determine who last wore this dress.
Okay, so you need to use one of the spells that are on the crystal ball.
Okay.
And then tell me how you use them. Like, you could use divination, but
yeah,
remember, you just cast divination the other day, which means it's like a 25% chance or something that I could
give you. Isn't divination, it's once every 24 hours?
I can't remember. Let's take a look at it to see. All I know is that if you cast it successively, your chances of getting a truthful response are diminished.
I can tell you, I have that spell prepared.
Okay, so yeah, what's the deal?
Divination
yep.
is
Something. So you're asking. You ask a single question concerning a specific goal, event, or activity. Within 7 days.
If you cast the spell two or more times
before finishing your next long rest. And we had a long rest.
All right, fine. Okay, you had your long rest, so go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to cast divination.
All right, what is your divination question?
Well, I get two questions, right?
No.
One question.
Single question concerning a specific goal, event, or activity to occur within 7 days.
Oh, within 7 days. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who is paying for this? Who is buying this dress?
All right. So you get a vision in the crystal ball that kind of it's having difficulty materializing.
Okay.
Right? And in fact, like it's almost like you're kind of digging through a bit of a fog or a mist or a haze. But with enough concentration, you actually are able to kind of stabilize the image. And you see yourself kind of turning around, touching your hair, adjusting the part of the dress, looking down at the ring on your finger. And you can see it look into the mirror and you're like staring right into the mirror, almost like it is reflecting. And then you can see that the eyebrow kind of arches upwards and then it smiles, looking at you.
Who are you? I wanted to take a really good look at that ring so I can recognize it if I see it on it.
The ring.
The ring. You said she was wearing a ring.
Oh, ring. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, fine. Yeah, okay. If you saw it again, you would recognize it. Absolutely. Now, so was looking like you in just about every way. Like, I mean, your gypsy kind of clothing, your kind of headband, necklace, and things like that. Now, what you did not see, you got, what's your passive perception?
Passive is 16.
16? Okay, it's reasonably high. The one thing that you did not see on that person, mm-hmm. even though it looked identical to you, mm-hmm. is the amulet of the quill. Okay. All right. What do you guys do next?
Okay, so I come out and I whisper to Theo and I'm like, there's definitely people pretending to be us, but they're like, look exactly like us. But I couldn't tell who it was.
Cluck, cluck. And I pull out a map of Salt Marsh here out of my documentsy bag.
Mm-hmm.
I say, can you mark with a pencil here exactly where the office, where my office is?
This is an odd request. I mean, we were literally sitting there. I offered you, anyways, whatever. You're the boss. And he kind of X marks the spot. It's an area kind of northwards, the town council area. So there is some open land. And you actually do kind of remember when you guys were last talking to the council and stuff like that. They were talking about, you know, some land that were more towards like the east of Salt Marsh. It was kind of, further away from the actual river and the boardwalk area. But yeah, it's probably a 10 to 15 minute walk in that direction.
My church. They took my land and built my office where I want to put my church? Oh, I'm incensed now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, we got so much to do. First of all, we have to burn down this head office. We also got to, make sure we get that armor enchanted from the Towers and Opus guy. And we need to check in with the dwarves and the Iron Shrimp and stuff. But, maybe we can subcontract the arson down to the people in the empty nest. We should order some buttered scones, or is it scones?
Butter pastries. Buttered pastries.
We gotta go and order some butter pastries and see what we can do about this head office.
Yeah, while Theo is pitching a fit, Boba earlier, Theo whispered to Bobo
that
he wanted him to grab some documents here.
Okay.
Behind the desk, so I'm gonna. I would like to use Mage Hand.
Okay.
To grab the documents while Bobo's pitching a fit.
Theo is okay, and sorry, like I guess tell me exactly. I mean, there's all sorts of places now. There's this like main desk area, and you can see that there's all these kind of books and ledgers and things like that. Like, where exactly are you looking for? I guess give me an investigation check to see how successful you are in locating things that Theo might be interested in finding.
One thing.
Okay.
Remember, anything under an eight is treated like an eight. Well, round one, it's been better for you. Thanks. Sure. Document. There. Very glad there. Now, that's just treated as an eight.
Yeah, that's an eight.
It's under an eight. It's just an eight.
So that's an eight plus nine.
So that's 17.
Wow. That's pretty useful. Okay.
That's a minimum roll on an investigation.
Yeah, that's amazing. So yeah, like, especially when Emka's like over kind of chatting with Selena and she kind of walks away, they basically leave like the front desk area unattended. And you find basically a pretty large stash of, you know, like open receipts and a ledger book and all that kind of stuff.
So I pull Edith over and I tell Edith to take part of the documents and stuff them in a bag she's carrying, and I put pocket the rest of them so that we can check them out later.
Okay.
I just want to confirm, you have Mage Hand, and yet when you went to steal Best Bull, you hopped over the counter?
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good, I'm just teasing.
Realized I had
made that's awesome. Okay, so Edith, Bobo kind of mentions over, like, you over, and like she's telling you like there's all this huge pile of like scrolls and like books and like all this kind of paperwork. It looks like very familiar to the kind of stuff that Theo kind of gathers in his office type of thing. What do you do? And may I remind you that, like, the store is fully open, right? Like, there are customers everywhere, right? So if you just start going through and shoving all these documents inside your bag, people are going to see.
All right. To be extent, I should actually have the right to look at these. So I just go behind the desk normally.
Uh-huh.
Just throw my bag, like, not like if nothing is abnormal.
Okay, that's really good. I love that. Give me a performance check with advantage.
Nice.
I need this.
Yeah.
I have 2d20s. Because
there's 2d20s in the evening.
Thank you.
No problem.
Well, that's a good move.
Yay.
I mean, I don't know what my
thing is. I think it's like a one. Zero.
It's actually a plus one since.
Okay, what's your roll?
Still try to put a bonfire, but the die is a 17.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so yeah, you stride up to there, like, you know, basically very confident in your role, and no one even bats like a second eye, right? Like, you just kind of walk up like you own the place, and you basically grab the whole bunch and you stuff it in. So you have
we do kind of own the place.
Exactly, right? So it is effectively pretty authentic. Now, Bobo, what on your end? How are you getting your documents?
Well, like I said, I use Mage Hand, and then I would like to hide and zip away.
Okay. Give me a stealth roll, please.
So that's a 23.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, so you manage to kind of, you know, and you just blend into the shadows back there and you grab a whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah, between the two of you, you've got like a significant number of documents and stuff like that. You know, didn't spend enough time to look to see what they are. But if anything's going to be useful and, you know, Theo can kind of go through it, you should be able to kind of figure some stuff out. Okay. So that's what you have. And, you know, let's say that you've done all the browsing, shopping, questioning, things like that, that you want to. And let's say about, you know, 2.5 hours later, it's closer now to like mid-afternoon. You guys, exit MKTOX.
Okay.
So unless, of course, you want to stop up at the all-you-can-eat restaurant.
No. So should we go to these headquarters of ours and see if there's anyone there?
It's either that or the wizard dude. Or the dwarven clan.
Okay. So, Kaladex Tower is, basically to the west. You'd have to cross over the bridge that leads towards the Empty Nest. It's actually pretty far away. And the furthest place is most definitely Cragstone. So, that place, Lady Duris says, that's on the far end of the other side of town and it's quite a ways away. So if, in fact, Tlactok's map is accurate, the closest location would be these supposed headquarters.
All right, let's go to our, I'd like to see what my office is supposed to look like.
Yeah, I'd like to see what my office looks like too.
All right. So I am going to,
I'd like to actually see what Edith's office looks like.
Did you even have an office?
Probably more like a training room.
Hey, our headquarters are nice.
So before you is appear to be like a wide sprawling manor of kind of Gothic design. The grounds themselves are very generous. It's off of like a major sort of walkway area. There's definitely a large major gate. You can see a sign that is clearly there, and it kind of says, you know, headquarters, Gold and Glory, corporate headquarters. And there is like a sort of garden area leading up to a central opening with a large kind of double doors that are on the inside. You do see some folks kind of walking around on the outside, tending to the gardens, tending to the area. There is actually sort of a sort of one of those, what are they called? The fauns? The satyrs, like the half goat, half human. Like there's one kind of nearby and he's like watering, the plants and stuff like that. But yeah, there does appear to be sort of, this gate-like area leading up to a door inside if you want to kind of go in.
Let's go in.
Let's get a whomping willow.
Okay, so if you kind of continue over, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to open this one up a bit, and let's open up the doorways, and let's bring you into the inside. Okay, so if you want to kind of move your characters inside, there does appear to be like a lineup. And, there's at least, three, looks like human townspeople leading up to what appears to be a central desk. There is an attractive, looking, blonde woman who is kind of behind the area. There is a sort of a matronly woman kind of crossing her arms at the back. You can see that, there's definitely a bunch of, different kind of folks over here. Immediately upon the entranceway to your left, there appears to be an open doorway which leads to some sort of, it looks like a sitting room. So, again, encourage you guys to actually use Talespire and go up and check it out. I'll open this door for you. Okay. So this is the lineup of people that are kind of over there. And you can see, well, now you can't skip the line. Once you start skipping the line, people are like, hey, get the back of the line, please. I was here first.
We own this. We are Golden Glory. What do you mean can't skip the line?
excuse me, sir. We were here first. If you want to kind of, get in line, let's be civilized and let's, play by the rules. Like maybe there's like a number system or something. You could kind of step back.
We are Golden Glory. You are here to see us.
Okay. So this woman in the back, appears to kind of, you know, see that there's a bit of a commotion kind of coming forward. And she steps forward and moves over to the line. And she kind of, you know, steps forward, her arms kind of crossed. Excuse me.
Who are you?
Why, I am Miriam. Welcome to Gold and Glory's headquarters.
Yes, we now, are Gold and Glory. We have come to see our headquarters.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand. No.
I am Selena Roma. This is our headquarters. I don't see why there's a problem with us going into our own headquarters.
Okay. So she looks really confused, and she actually looks back at, you know, the blonde lady who's kind of behind the reception. And, you know, the blonde is kind of like, I don't know what's going on. And then you hear a familiar voice. Yeah, that's okay, man. So if you kind of come back, we'll just check to see whether or not we've got an opening in this area. We are always looking for new candidates as part
of- Drebus! Come out here, please.
And you know, people are looking at you and they're like, you are so rude. Like, what are you doing? Like, but then, you know, Drebus, he kind of, upon hearing you, he actually, oh, I guess I don't have his character up, but Drebus kind of wanders over and he's like, oh, hello there, Mistress Selena. I didn't know you were going to be in the office today. I thought all you guys were going on your, you know, what was it, your workshop or whatever.
What workshop?
You know, the management training workshop escape thing. I forget what you call it, but, you know, it was like the executive team and you guys said, oh, yeah, it's a retreat.
We have just arrived back on the Sea Ghost. From being away for over 2 months.
The workshop was fantastic. It was short. We're still good. We finished it early.
Yes, that's
right.
We'd
like to go to our office now.
Yes, these people don't seem to believe we are Golden Glory.
Who? Wait, who is this guy with the beard?
That's Theo.
You don't look like Theo, man.
Just imagine him without the beard.
Yeah, but he's like shorter or something. I remember Master Theo's kind of a big guy, got a little bit of a gut. You know, he was human. You look like a dwarf, dude.
He's changed.
Well, evidently. Okay, well, like, if you guys are back, then, like, knock yourselves out. You know, you got your run of the place, you know? All right, well, Miriam, I guess you just let him in. I thought they'd be gone for a couple of days the last time they were talking.
Okay.
All right. So they let you in.
Okay. Let's go exploring.
Okay.
I want to find my office.
All right. So, yeah, where do you want to go?
I don't know. Find my office.
All right. And this kind of small fey kind of creature kind of zips by. Hi. Oh. You look like, Ms. Edith. Hi, Ms. Edith. Good to see you. And she kind of, you know, flies back. Okay. Well, all right. Have a nice day, sir. And yeah, we'll see you later. Don't call us. We'll call you. All right. So you guys are inside this kind of space. And, this young woman, kind of comes, Masters Theo and hi everyone. I thought you guys were on your retreat for a couple of days. It's a bit of a surprise that you're here. Is there anything I can get you?
Yes. Can you bring us some, drinks to our offices, please?
Oh, of course. that won't be any problems. Now you're talking sort of your regular space, like the boardroom, or are you really talking about your offices?
Our offices.
I didn't think I had access.
Well, we can let you in.
You carry the drinks and lead the way. We'll let you in over there.
Yes.
Okay. I'm really confused. I was under the impression that this was strictly off limits.
Surely you can lead people to our offices.
Well, I mean...
And we are Golden Glory, so we can change your responsibilities at any time.
Oh, of course. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, there is the workshop area and the storage. You sure you don't want to just like lay back in the boardroom? I'm sure we can cook you guys up some stuff.
Well, we'll go to the boardroom eventually. First, we want to go to our offices. Do you not know where our offices are?
I've never been into the West Wing. I have to admit, I don't really know how to get.
She's clearly useless. Let's just we'll go to the West Wing ourselves.
Thank you.
Let's start heading to the West Wing.
All right. So where do you go?
The West Wing.
Stay where you are. Just do what you do.
Just bring some drinks to the boardroom, and we'll go get them eventually.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's great. Yeah, sure. Your usual?
My usual, yes.
Okay, very well. All right, what do you guys do?
Go to the West Wing.
All right, well, again, you're not really, you've never been in this building before, so, I mean.
I think we could figure out West versus East.
Okay, so, and again, I'm probably using the wrong directions here, but let's use, like, left is West. East is right,
which would
okay,
be correct, yes.
which is kind of your normal thing. So I'm just kind of setting that over here. So you've got the compass direction as well. All right, so you can maneuver your characters where you want. There is definitely a corridor, and again, like you see these interesting. They're almost like some sort of wand or like a lightning rod type of thing. You do see that, you know, there is like the luminescence of sort of some sort of arcane light that is sort of behind the whole thing. But yeah, basically it's up to you to kind of go where you want.
Okay. Well, I want to search for my office, go in there, and I want to do the ritual for detect magic and figure out what all this stuff is.
All right. Okay. So, where do you want to go?
We're going down the West Wing.
Okay.
So if there's a corridor down the back, that's where we're going to go.
Okay. All right. So there is this kind of corridor which leads over here. So I will take you guys. Wait, where is Selena?
You're over
here.
Far back.
So you want to go over here, basically?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So you kind of go down that kind of area and you follow, and you can see that it kind of turns over here.
Yep.
And all the way down at the end of the corridor, there appears to be a guard of some sort, and there is a door that leads kind of behind there. So yeah, it basically goes.
Yep. Keep all on right. going.
So you kind of move forward. Sorry. My map is not working great here.
I lost the,
Oh, you did?
Okay,
so you can see it's actually a fairly fierce, a gruff, you know, orc warrior, and he carries like, and it's quite alert, and he's like, I don't understand what's going on.
We're back from our retreat earlier than expected.
Why are you coming in this door?
Why not?
Because you already went from the other way, you should be coming back.
What do you mean I went the other way? I went through this door, I came out, and I came back in through the main entrance, and now I'm trying to get back in again.
He cocks his crossbow. Who are you?
I'm Selena Roma. Can't you tell that's who I am?
You look like Selena Roma, but your presence isn't explained here, and you have an awfully weird story. Now explain yourself.
I just did.
Not sufficient.
Well, can't I roll a deception roll or something?
You can. Just tell me what.
No, I just put him to sleep.
Oh, you put him to sleep?
Okay, or you can do that too. Or
okay.
Try to.
Roll your sleep hit points.
Hold on, I'm going to need this here. So he's an orc?
He is.
Of a certain stature, I take it?
It's quite large. Powerful warrior. Looks like an experienced, a person. You know, probably not a hero, but, you know, he's no shrinking daisy.
Second level spell slot, just to make sure.
Okay.
Four. Can I roll your d8s? Five, and we'll re-roll two of them again, laying them on the hand. 18, 24 plus 15. Okay.
He slumps down, the crossbow kind of clatters to the ground, and he basically falls unconscious, sleeping on the ground.
Okay, Selena takes the crossbow from him.
Okay, so you kind of take the crossbow away, and, you know, there is a heavy locked door, and kind of, now you said you were casting Detect Magic?
Not until I get not to until my
you
office.
Not until you get there. Okay, so basically, yeah, he's asleep in front over here. There's no one, you know, in these side corridors, but there is this kind of locked door, or very heavy set door that is kind of behind his sleeping body.
Okay, does there seem to be magic emanating from the door?
You would have to cast to detect magic or maybe use Arcana.
I'll just use Arcana.
Okay, so give me an Arcana roll.
I read a note that says you're fired and leave it on the spot. Yeah.
You suck, you're fired. 19.
Stamp it with Theo's.
Okay, yeah. And I mean, your senses, like normally as they kind of reach out and just your trained thing, I mean, you can sense there's definitely the emanations of magic from beyond that door.
Okay, can I cast Dispel Magic or do I have that as a spell? Or?
You tell me.
That's what I'm trying to get to. I have it as a spell. I'm just wondering if I have it as a... Where's Dispel Magic?
I have it prepared if you don't.
I do have it prepared. I know I have it prepared.
It's a third level spell.
No, apparently I only have counter spell.
Okay.
Okay, Theo, this spell is magical.
Is that what you want me to cast a spell magic?
Yes, please, because this is a magical door.
Now, I need you to be very specific about what you're trying to dispel over here. Are you trying to dispel an enchantment that's on the door?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Theo.
Do you have a specific enchantment you're trying to dispel? Like, any direction you'd like to give me?
Not at the moment. If you want more specifics, then I'll have to do my ritual for Detect Magic.
Okay. I will do what she tells me, which is casting Dispel Magic on those doors.
Okay. You cast it. And... whatever enchantment that was placed on the door, assuming that it even was there, you don't think it's there anymore.
So I can see this by the Arcana that I was using?
Your sense. Like, the only real way of actually detecting is to cast a Detect Magic spell, okay?
Door locked?
Yes, it is locked.
It's still locked?
Hey, Bobo, you're up.
Now, there is a heavy ringed key that's on the orc body, the sleeping orc.
Hey, Theo, why don't we just use this key?
Sounds good.
Okay. So you open the door and it opens into this area and there is the gleaming of this kind of, you know, mystical arcane light that suffuses the whole area. Now, it is not an office at all, but you kind of see there is like, you know, basically if you go in, okay, you can see that there appeared to be like four large mirrors, each kind of, you know, and they don't appear to, you know, have any, you know, any specific things. There is like a large chair with a very kind of ornate, pillow on it. And there are actually a series of levers. In fact, not two levers, but three.
Mirrors again, huh? Shall we move these levers? See what they do?
Okay, so the position of the levers is actually pretty specific, okay? And the first lever, the position of that lever is actually down, whereas the second and the third levers, their all position is up. Okay, so I'm actually going to reflect that in this particular case.
So the first one is down and the other two are up?
Correct.
Okay, so do we play with the levers or do I do detect magic?
Can you just, like, make it instant? The guard is only going to be asleep for so long.
I don't have detect magic as anything other than a ritual.
He's going to wake up before then. I'm going to drag the guard in and put manacles on him.
Okay, you do so. That's not a problem. He's still unconscious for the moment. All right, so what do you guys do?
I gag him.
Okay.
Okay, so do you want me to detect magic then?
Yeah.
So okay. I start detecting magic before he pulls in the guard.
Okay. So you begin that, and you know, at some point the guard kind of wakes up, realizes he's not, and he's like struggling, but you know, between all of you, you can kind of keep him there. Now he is trying to make noise, he's trying to get away. Do you want to do anything, like knock him out, that type of thing?
I'm just going to continue doing detect magic.
All right,
magic.
So you kind of continue. The guy is like, you know,
and I'll hold up the paper that says he's fired. It says, "This is my signature. This is my stamp. And this really would make you fired. Now this can disappear in a moment, but like for now, like for that, we need your cooperation."
Okay, he kind of quiets down. And, like, you can see, like, the fight goes out of his eyes kind of thing, and he just kind of slumps back, and he's not resisting anymore. Okay, Selena, your spell goes off, and you do see powerful enchantments in this area.
Are they on the mirrors?
There are in the mirrors, and, in fact, they are also linked to the various kind of switches.
Okay.
So the type of magic is effectually... I guess it would be conjuration.
So what kind of spells are conjuration?
Anything that kind of displace matter, like dimension door and those type of things, like that open portals, you're basically summoning.
Okay, so, and that's on all of the mirrors and the levers?
The levers seem to be more like they're mechanical in nature, but, you know, through a linkage of the magic, you think that, maybe the different positions of them may open different combinations of whatever magic is linked to the mirrors.
So I think these are similar to dimension doors. So I think if we move the levers around, maybe we go to different places. Maybe the mirrors lead to different places.
So if we dispel the magic out of here, does that mean whoever's on the other side can't come back?
It's possible. You'd have to understand the exact nature of the enchantment. And Selena, everything that is telling you here that the nature of these enchantments are actually multi-layered and multifaceted. And your guess is that there are different enchantments associated with the different position of the levers. So yes, if you dispelled the magic, it could
dispel whatever is current.
A current configuration. But does that mean you're impacting the whole mechanism? Unlikely.
Okay, talking to the orc guy. Do you know what this place is?
Kind of a stupid question is that? Of course! I know I'm supposed to guard it.
Okay, do you know how it works?
No. You guys are the ones who determined that. You told me don't let anyone in here on fear of your life.
So then why did you block us when we are
because
the people that you are protecting this room from?
Because I thought you guys were imposters. I don't understand when you guys went into the room and then you didn't come out the same way that you came in and you came in the front, you couldn't have been who you are. But clearly you are who you are.
Well, the imposters are actually the people you're working for. We are the real people.
Then why did I just, you know, 6 hours ago, you guys came through and you said, we're going off on the retreat.
and, you know, to not let anybody in, and we're coming back in a couple of days. Don't you think that's kind of suspicious if all of a sudden you guys come in and you look like, you know, Golden Glory, but you're telling me that, you know, and you didn't come back through
this? We are Golden Glory.
How do I know that? How do I know you're not some sort of imposter and a demon?
How do you know that the people you think are Golden Glory are not the imposter? Because I've been
working with you for like 3 months. What's my name?
I have absolutely no idea because Golden Glory has been gone for 3 months.
No. Yes. I have been working here since the beginning of this, and you don't even know my name. That means you're the imposter.
No, you are the imposter, and the people you are working for are the imposter.
You know what? Go ahead. Fire me, because I don't think you are the people you say you are. If you were really my employer, you would know my name, because every day you tell me, you know, hey, right? We have a greeting. We have a certain thing, and you can't even give me that story. So forget it. I'm not helping you. And he crosses his arms.
His arms are in manacles.
Okay, well, he tries to cross
them. I gag him again. I turn to Selena. I was like, who knew that they would hire an actually intelligent guard?
I wonder who these people are.
Someone who wants to pretend to be us, clearly.
Obviously, but why? What's the purpose?
Well, you pretend to be us in a town that we have a foothold in. Apparently, we've taken care of some gnomes, segregated them. I think they're using our name to do some really bad business.
Yeah, it looks like it. I think they're trying to make our name look bad. I mean, they're hiring orcs, of all people.
They're first making it look good, so it makes the betrayal sting even more, right? Yeah.
Yes, because we definitely would not be putting gnomes into a concentration factory camp.
Well, your best guess here, what would a fire do to this place?
I don't know. What would a fire do anything to this place?
It would, assuming, well, it's a stone building.
Okay.
Okay. So you would do damage to the superstructure. Magic can be a delicate thing, but magic can also be a very robust thing. So depending on the construction of the walls, the degree to which magic is integrated in with the structure, would it disrupt this whole mechanism? Possibly.
Like, are you just using normal fire, or are you talking about like some kind of magical fire?
Well, don't you know fireball?
No, I don't, actually.
Wait, you're with us in the fireball?
That's why she casts synaptic static.
Yep.
You know Shatter? I wish Fiona was here. I think she knows Shatter, doesn't she?
Yeah, I do not have Shatter either. I am a divination wizard. I don't take things like that.
Oh, do you know what I cast? I cast Edith. You want to break down the wall? Can we just, like, destroy whatever's here? Just destroy it. Just destroy this room. Just hit it hard.
Okay, I grab my... Can I hit the wall?
And Edith and Theo will hit the other wall.
Okay, and sorry, which wall specifically? The one with all the levers on it? That sort of thing?
Like that.
Yeah, let's start with the one with the levers on it. I'll do the one that's kind of leading in an eastward direction.
Okay, so go ahead and hit.
That's a 13.
Okay, so the force of your hammer crashes into like the side of the wall, and it starts breaking the lever. Now, you do notice, and Selena, you all of a sudden see that you didn't see it before, because it basically was behind the physical masonry of the wall.
Okay.
But you can see that the wall itself is reinforced by a powerful abjuration spell.
Okay.
In fact...
Like, abjuration is what kind of
spell? It's a protective, a shielding type of magic.
There is magic behind the walls. Some kind of shielding magic.
Lock it.
Okay, so you smack the wall, and like the stone begins kind of crumpling all around it. And basically, like, you know, part of the mechanism starts bending and stuff like that. And then, like, all that part of all the brick seems to kind of fall off. But you now see, like, this kind of transparent, almost like a force field of energy that's basically just, you know, weaving in and out of that whole area. And as you try striking that, your hammer bounces off of essentially a magical barrier of force that you are not able to dent.
Maybe we need to dispel the defensive protections of the wall.
Can you take a look and try to determine how powerful this abjuration bit here is?
Can I tell by my dispel magic?
No, I'm asking.
Roll your arcana.
Arcana, okay.
With guidance.
Guidance is a d4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So that's 14. But if that's not good, then I'm going to use my inspiration.
Okay, use your inspiration. Yeah, okay. that is not going to.
No.
That's not high enough.
I rolled a 2.
Okay.
And that one's a 1, so no.
There is something about the nature of the magics in this space that are almost obfuscating, right? Like, right. Just when you think you have a handle on it or on the nature of it, it eludes you and, like, slips away. Whatever has created this is incredibly gifted or clever with the magic, or the magic is just very, very potent.
I think the magic's very potent, Theo.
I
don't know if it's spell magic.
Your sense here is that the nature of the magic is not limited to this physical plane. You think that there is extra planar energy, extra dimensional magics that are interwoven here.
Oh.
So this is not a simple thing. It's not your everyday hedge wizard. I'm going to come by and do my dispel magic. This is a layered enchantment that is baked into the very foundation of whatever this building and structure is.
Do I even have the knowledge to do something like this?
You think this is, it would take a master of magics to be able to even begin to unravel this. You could spend maybe days here, Selena, and you think you would only scratch the surface of what's going on. It's that weird.
Theo? Hey,
Selena, why don't we take some notes together?
Okay.
And we'll bring it, and we will bring it to our friend.
Yes.
We're not going to nick near this room.
Yes.
And we'll bring it to our friend, and we'll see what possibly might be able to be done here.
Okay. So I will tell you everything that the DM just told me. That is multi-layered and with multi-dimensional layers of the ethereal plane. And
yeah, and you've seen this type of thing before. When you went to the Tower of Xenopus, which was that wizard's tower that was interlinked in and it only appeared when the moon was, you know, like, this is like next level stuff, okay. Right? It's the work of something with power that is beyond just your average mundane magic, right? And as powerful as you are, you're still, you don't come close to the level of skill of an archmage, right. For example, right? So you're just guessing.
Right. So anyway, I get as much information as I understand.
Okay.
And give it to Theo.
All right. So you've got that kind of dump. You've got a partially broken wall, a kind of, you know, bent mechanism type of thing. But other than that, okay. So how much time do you spend in this room, especially given that, you know, it was probably mid-afternoon by the time you get here? Excuse me. And then obviously you have this one guard.
Can we move all of the levers down so to hope to turn off whatever is turned on?
Okay. So
because they exited that way, so maybe they need them that way to come back.
Okay.
So if we change it, they maybe can't come back.
All right. So if you kind of turn this one down and this one down too, all of a sudden There is a crackling of energy, almost like the circuit has not been completed or something. So there's something missing, and it begins like bzz, 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 kind of this weird arcane electricity going back and forth between the two. But then these kind of settle in a position, and then one of the mirrors basically flips open. Not open, but all, it reveals an image. Uh-huh. And behind the image is basically, it looks like a cavern passage of some sort leading into darkness. You can see a little bit of a flicker of light behind it. It's almost like maybe a mine entrance or something like that, or a tunnel.
Hey, do you remember last time we saw one of these mirrors just turn into something? We just jumped in, right?
Yeah, and that was stupid.
Well, it was great for me.
That's when I fell into the water. And nearly drowned. But I got splooshy out of it.
We'll see.
What do you do?
Do we want to investigate this, or should we talk to, what is his name?
Keledek?
Keledek first.
Well, you didn't actually say his name.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I said, what's his name? Yes.
But you mean the local wizard who is also, you think, a member of the Order of the Quill?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't mention the order.
Understand, understand. That's fine.
Should we go see him first before we may do something really stupid?
Do you know what? I go to the guards. Do you know what's behind this mirror?
I have no idea. I work on the.
I push him through.
He, like, he goes through the mirror and then he kind of disappears and, like, he his whole body basically flows through the mirror, and he's gone.
Bye, whatever your name was.
I say, Edith, hold on to my hand, and I stick my head through the mirror.
Okay. Your head kind of, you know, emerges into this kind of half space, and whirling all around you is this furious storm of energy and kind of twisting light that kind of, you know, emerges everywhere. And it's almost kind of blinding in a way. I need you to make a constitution save, please.
What do I do about that? Here it is. I'm good at constitution saving throws. So
okay.
I am. Not bad. How does a 13 look?
You feel your body now start to stretch, almost as if something is like sucking your physical body, you know, forward. And then all of a sudden, like really strange, like you feel your eyes kind of pop and extend and stretch forward. And then your neck begins kind of attach, you know, unattaching from your head. And it's like stretching forward like rubber. And you can feel your entire body begin to pull. Now, Edith, there's something really weird happening to Theo, his body. It's like, you know, trembling and wiggling like jello. Kind of thing, and it's like he's almost having a seizure or something, and you can see like you're holding on to him, you know, the part that's not in his legs, but his whole body is vibrating and shaking. What do you do?
Yeah, what could be the cause of this?
I mean, other than I stuck my head through an unknown mirror?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of how the.
Okay.
I'm like, I think you're fired!
Okay, Edith, I need you to make a, let's call it a grappling check.
Oh, pleasure. Is that athletics, right?
That is athletics, correct.
Yes, is it to get in, or is it about grappling, or pick it up? Okay, so I don't get advantage.
Just to escape, eh?
But I have like a plus 10. 14!
Okay. You hold on to him, but then even as you hold, there's something weird happening in his body, like it's literally turning gelatinous, and you feel his arms and his legs begin to kind of stretch and slip out of your hands. It's like slippery and greasy, and you can feel like his like leg almost start to kind of, you know, pull in and stretch like, you know, like a rubber band inside of you, and woof, you've got a hold of his foot, but then his foot is like turning into this big stretch thing, and then Theo poof, disappears into the mirror with the exception of the foot, which is just stretching, and you're holding on, and you're trying to grasp onto this thing, but it's starting to slip away. What do you do?
Selena tries to help.
How?
I don't know. She grabs Edith and tries pulling Edith too.
Okay. Fine. Make a athletics check.
I'm so good at athletics. Ooh, 17.
17. Okay. You manage somehow to kind of anchor yourself. But Edith, you now feel yourself slipping forward. And the more kind of tension you actually put onto Theo, you actually feel yourself starting to be pulled towards the mirror. You're about to hit its surface. What do you do? What do you do?
I try, almost pulling him backwards, I suppose.
Okay. Selena, make another athletics check, please.
Me?
This time at disadvantage.
At disadvantage? Why?
Because, I mean, you're talking like Edith, and you're also, you know, she's holding on, you know, it's...
Three.
Edith, she slips through the mirror, and you have the edge of her foot, and it's stretching now, and you're starting to be pulled
towards
her. Okay, you let go, and...
Yeah, I don't know. I think you misunderstood there, Alpha. She was trying to pull me out.
I know. I understand that. I understand that.
Okay.
Okay. Edith.
Well, Edith is in with me.
Edith and Theo disappear into the mirror.
Turin, where are you?
And then with that, we'll call that a day.
Oh, no.
And scene. Okay, that's a wrap. This concludes part B of our episode. We hope you're enjoying the adventures of the G-Team as much as we're enjoying making it all up as we go along. We'll release part A of a new episode next week. In the meantime, have a great day, stay safe, and don't forget to love each other. See you next time on Gold and Glory.